Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hey, Leo Laporte here with our brand new product review show, episode one of Before You Buy. Coming up, Ayaz Akhtar with his review of the Lenovo Ultrabook. It's He Said, She Said, when we take a look at the Kindle Fire versus the Nook tablet. I'll have a hands-on of the latest, insert name of deity here, phone, the Galaxy Nexus, and some quick bite reviews, including a lady phone. It's time for Before You Buy. Hey, I'm so happy to welcome you to Before You Buy, our brand new product review show. We've been wanting to do this for a long time. Let me bring the band. I have to do this by hand. Bring the band down behind me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. This is a show where we are going to take a look at all the newest products, give you a sense of whether it's worth buying, trying, or throwing it out the window. I want to thank right up front our brand new producer. We just hired Nicole Lee from CNET. She's been doing CNET cellular phone reviews for a long time. She's really great. I've worked with her for years, including at Tech TV, and she's helped us get all these great new products. We're going to kick it off with product number one. By the way, one of the ways this show is going to work is we'll get these products in-house, and then we'll give people on the staff a chance to review it. So you're going to see some new faces on here I think you'll enjoy, but you'll recognize this one. Ayaz Akhtar from Tech News Today took a look at the latest MacBook Air killer. This is the Lenovo IdeaPad.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar with TWiT.tv, and I have here the Lenovo IdeaPad U300S, and this is Lenovo's Ultrabook. You can see how thin it is at under half an inch thick, but one of the things about this is that it's very rigid. It's made out of aluminum, and you don't have any flex on it, which is really nice for something this thin. Now, you might notice something. It's super bright orange. This is Lenovo's Clementine orange color. If you don't like that, you can go with the graphite gray, which is much more understated. Let's take a look around what we have here on the ports. Because it's an Ultrabook, no optical drive. We have a power port, an HDMI out, a USB 3, as denoted by the blue. And then there's a port here that serves as dual function as a mic and headphone jack. On the other side, we have a USB port. The vents are actually located on the side, and there's a one-key recovery button there. We'll talk about that in a second. On the bottom, notice, you can't replace the battery. It's sealed in. There's no vents over here because Lenovo put it on the side. And this thing really doesn't get very hot. So if you want to take out the battery, though, you can't do that. Let's actually open this thing up and use it like we would in real life. Now, this is an Ultrabook. You probably will hold it in your living room like this. It takes about 4 seconds to boot up from a sleep. It's not so bad. It's pretty quick, actually. The display is a 13.3-inch display with a resolution of 1366 by 768, so you can watch HD stuff on this. But I did notice that when you're looking at something white, you'll notice the space between the pixels, kind of a screen door effect. Once you see it, you can't unsee it, unfortunately. The keyboard, well, this is an Ultrabook, so there's not a lot of travel with these keys, but it'll do the job, I think. It's a little shallower than I would like. And the trackpad is gigantic. And it's made out of glass, so it does support multi-touch functions. So if I want to do pinch and zoom on a page, let's do that. Yes. You can see the pinch and zoom work. Four-finger sweeps actually do bring up different things. We have a wallpaper selector if you want. Also a notepads app if you want it. Now, one of the things I found out in the actual usage of this device is when I try to type on this, accidental input on the trackpad was unavoidable. It was very difficult. Anytime I hit the space button, I ended up hitting the trackpad by accident. Now, I thought it was just me, but I let other people try out this Lenovo, and they also complained of the same problem. If Lenovo put a little bit more space between the trackpad and the space bar, maybe that would have helped. If you turn down the sensitivity, effectively you have to drag your fingers so that you don't have these accidental input anymore. It's just really, really a big problem with this thing. Also on the keyboard, no backlit keyboard. Now, this is a $1,500 unit, at least this one is, and you'd think it would have that kind of thing. On the display, it doesn't get any higher than 1366 by 768, which I thought was a little low res. This unit has an Intel Core i7. Now, you can get one with an i5, and we did some light video editing with this. This thing never got hot, which was really kind of a nice feature. We did a video editing test of an 80-second clip, or a couple of clips, a 720p video. Let's show you that. Now, to make a 720p upscale to 1080p video took about 5 minutes. This is an 80-second clip. When we wanted to do a 720p video test of 720p, it took about 1 minute. So it's really, really snappy. But then again, what are you going to be using this for? This is an Ultrabook. You probably are going to be going online. I mean, that's what people do. This thing played back Flash video very, very nicely. We were able to have two Flash videos up at one time. I don't know why you would do that, but you could if you wanted to. If you wanted to watch Hulu and Twitch at the same time, you could on this thing. Things rendered very fast. Basically, the performance was very, very snappy with this thing. But then again, that's if you don't type. So if you're just simply using the trackpad and you're just clicking things around, that's great. But if you like to type, you might be running into the same problem I had with this trackpad. Now, Lenovo says you can get 8 hours of usage out of this thing, and I basically use this as I would my normal laptop. I got 5 hours out of this. I was downloading videos. I was making movies. I was even recording audio. I did everything I normally do, which I don't think a lot of people do. 5 hours out of this thing, and I mean, I beat this thing up. Did a very good job on that. Also, I left it unplugged over the weekend. It only lost maybe 10% of its charge, so that was a really cool feature about this thing. On the side, you have this one key button. This will launch the recovery software on this thing. So if Windows becomes unresponsive on Lenovo's ThinkPad here, you can click this button and then you will go into the system restore function. So that's a really cool function of this laptop. But there's no SD card slot on this, which I noticed, which is kind of a downer. If you have any content that you want to put on this, like your video editing or whatever, you better be doing it via USB because there's no real other option unless you want to go to the cloud. So if you're in your living room and you want to send a YouTube video right to a television, if you have Intel WiDi technology built into your TV or the adapter, that's a pretty cool function because you're probably going to have this, you know, right in your living room, like, oh yeah, let's show you that video. Inevitably, this Ultrabook is going to be compared to that other ultra thin and light notebook from Apple. Now, I've used the MacBook Air and I haven't had the trackpad issues or the keyboard issues. Now, this thing was very, very frustrating when it came to typing. Now, if you do a lot of typing, this might drive you nuts. So, is this a buy, try, or don't buy? I gotta say, due to the price and the lack of functions and that trackpad driving me insane, I have to say, don't buy. I'm Ayaz Akhtar with Twit.tv, and this is the Lenovo IdeaPad U300S.
Thank you, Ayaz. So that's introducing something that's going to be a big part of this show. On everything we review, we're not going to give you 4 stars or 5 stars. We're going to give you 3 simple possibilities. Buy it, try it, or don't buy it. I think that's the simplest way to do it. Now, here's a problem. We've got 2 very similar competing products that are brand new in the tablet category. The Kindle Fire, selling for $200 from Amazon, and Barnes & Noble's Nook tablet, selling for $50 more. It's a little bit faster, but how do you compare the two? Ah, we found a way. Turns out, I had no idea, 2 of our staffers are actually married. Yes, Eileen Rivera and Tom Merritt take a look at the latest in tablets.
Hey, thanks, Leo. We are here with the Amazon Kindle Fire.
You've been outed now.
Now, you're all about Android, but these are both running Android.
Yes.
So it's not about the operating system. It's about how they implemented them. And they're both kind of reduced functionality of Android. It's not everything you'd get in, say, like a Galaxy Tab.
Very, very reduced. But there's still a lot of things here that are available, like apps and Netflix. On both devices, and the newsstand, obviously books, so and a browser, too, an email. Both of them has all of that.
Functionally, they're pretty similar, right? Yeah. I mean, they both have all of these things that you just mentioned. Hardware-wise, though, you win.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Nook Color actually, and if we launch the browser, first of all, I think I win because it's definitely faster. I know that Amazon was touting their
Silk
browser,
thing,
but it's not that fast, I have to say.
I have to say, yeah, I agree. I mean, it takes me forever to wait for stuff to load. Let's just go to... I hate the keyboard. It takes me forever to type something in. Yeah, I could say that definitely... Barnes & Noble Nook has a usually faster browser. I don't know why that would be. Yeah, see, look, The Verge is it's just sitting on me while it waits to
let's see.
Everything.
Is it The Verge?
Yeah,
TheVerge.com. TheVerge.com. See how fast it goes.
It's a complicated
website. It goes straight to the mobile.
Yeah, see, and this didn't.
Interesting.
And that makes it faster, too.
Yeah.
You also got a better-looking screen.
I do like the screen. It seems... They're about the same size, but I think Illusion, because
it's
of the hardware,
bezels,
it makes it look like this is bigger. Now, I do like the fact that there is an SD card slot, so I could put anything up to 32 gigs in here. I've got 16.
How much onboard storage is there?
Well, it's 16 gigs, but...
So you can get up to 48 gigs?
But 15 gigs is Barnes & Noble content.
What?
Yeah.
So if you store videos and such...
Internally,
you only have a gig for that?
Exactly.
So you have to store it all in the SD card.
Yes.
Now, that's another key difference. The Kindle has the Amazon advantage. So you can go into video and you can get Amazon Prime streaming videos. You can get all of these movies and TV shows that you can buy from $2.99 mm-hmm. to $1.99. You can rent movies. You don't have that with the Nook. With the Nook, you have to rely on outside providers like Netflix.
Right, like Netflix. Music-wise, there's Pandora, GrooveShark, or you could, again, put it on your SD card, which I've done, and I have some music in here. So.
But the apps are the same. Videos. You can get Pandora. You can get all the same apps. Yeah. You can get Netflix on the Fire, but you can also get... the Amazon Music Store. Like all the music that I haven't bought that much, but all the music I bought through Amazon just shows up
right.
automatically.
Right. But the beauty of Android is that you could do little side hacks here and there. And, you know, I just happen to have the Amazon store on here.
Oh, you have the Amazon Kindle app?
I have the Kindle app, and I also have the Amazon store.
Yeah, I put GetJar on mine. I got the Barnes & Noble Nook.
Kindle app on.
See, that's actually kind of cool.
Isn't that funny?
You can work either way. So it kind of comes down to which is more important for you, hardware or services. If you want the better services, I'd say go with the Fire. If you want the better hardware, if the services aren't as important or you don't like Amazon services, go with the Nook.
Also, there's brick-and-mortar stores, too. So if anything goes wrong with the device,
right,
you can
service.
Go straight there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean... you got Jane Lynch pimping this. It's kind of fun. The design of this, if you're into design specs of the hardware, looks much better than the Kindle Fire.
How much is the Nook Color?
$249.
This is $199.
$50
So there's your other differentiation mm-hmm. is the price. If $50 more is worth the better hardware, then you want to go with the Nook. But if $50 less that you can then go spend on all this Amazon stuff, then you might want to go
Yeah, I mean, the Amazon ecosystem is a lot better apps-wise. You could get a lot more apps for free on the Amazon app store versus here. Like, Bejeweled was $2.99. You can get it for free over here.
Now, you've used both. Which one do you like better?
Performance-wise, I love the Nook tablet better, but because I am an Amazon devotee, I'm going to stick with that for now. I do wish they had more space on here because I took this on a flight and I only have 6 gigs of storage. You know, that was about 6 Gossip Girls and a Hannah movie.
And battery life? On
battery
the flight?
Life lasted for the entire 9-hour flight.
All right.
By the end of the flight, I still had 17% left, so that was good.
I think the only thing we haven't talked about is the button. There's a power button at the bottom of the Kindle.
The other thing about the
Kindle. So you want to hold it with the power button up.
Yeah,
because otherwise you'll hit it with your thumb all the time. There's no other button. Everything is touchscreen on the Fire.
And you don't have a volume rocker. I've got a little volume rocker button on the Nook tablet, which is kind of a pain here. Some apps, not the Amazon apps, but like Netflix, you have to go into settings and then tap and move the volume, which is kind of a pain instead of just rocking the up or down right here.
And you do have a Nook button.
I've got a Nook button. I got a little hook, a little stylish, you know, stick a little carabine action.
Buy, try, or don't buy?
I say buy.
You say buy? I say buy on the Kindle Fire. For $199, frankly, I use the iPad because I have an iPad, but that's $500. So for the price, I'm set. We're going to give them both a buy. Don't buy both of them, though. Pick
just
one.
Buy one. Pick one, and you'll be happy with either.
All right. That's it for the Kindle Fire, $199, and the Barnes & Noble Nook Color, $249. Back to you, Leah.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Eileen. And now I've outed them, and they are a married couple, and you probably could figure out by the way they were talking to each other. I agree with both of them. I think these are both excellent products in a very low price range. I can't see paying $50 more for the Nook tablet, especially since I think there's some question about the long-term viability of Barnes & Noble, and there's no question Amazon's going to be around a long time. What is absolutely true is both of these will be revved many times and fairly quickly. Amazon's done that with their original Kindles, and I expect these will get better and better and better, and that's good news for everybody. Coming up in just a bit, I have my review of the most hotly awaited phone of the last 6 months, the Galaxy Nexus, the true Google phone, coming up. Before we do that, we want to show you some quick bites. That's what I'm calling them. Just short reviews from our staff of products that we thought were interesting but didn't merit a full review. We do have the full reviews on YouTube, so you can see them all. I'll tell you where to see them in just a second. But first, here are Ayaz, Tony, and Eileen with some quick bites.
Hey everyone, this is Eileen Rivera with Twit.tv and All About Android, and today I'm looking at a phone that I have made fun of. It's the HTC Rhyme, and you can get it on the Verizon network here in the United States. I made fun of it because I don't know if you've seen the commercials on TV.
All from one. All for you. I am the new Rhyme by HTC.
Buy, try, or don't buy, I'm going to say try, because there are some of you out there that might actually see this phone as, you know, is competent enough. I'm a power user, so the speed of the phone, the storage on the phone, not enough for someone like me. But if you do basic phone calls, if your needs are just maybe, I don't know, taking this to the gym or just light, if you're a light user, this might actually appeal to you. But I can't say, I can't really recommend it to everyone out there because smartphones are and applications are becoming more complex, and you want your phone to kind of compete with that. So that is the shortcoming of the HTC Rhyme. It's really, really saddens me to say that because after all the nitpicks that I have with this phone, I really like holding it and actually having it around. But if I were to go to a store, this wouldn't be the first phone that I buy. So I would say try it first. I'm Eileen Rivera with Twit.tv and All About Android, and this is the HTC Rhyme.
Tony Wayne for Twit.tv, and today I'll be reviewing the CineSkates from Cinetics, and they're essentially skate wheels for your GorillaPod Focus. And I will show you how to put it on right now. It's very simple. You just pop it on your GorillaPod. It only works with the Focus. So yeah, you can do a lot of beauty shots with these CineSkates, or you can do a lot of tracking shots. Buy, try, or don't buy, definitely a buy for me. You can't really try these in the store because they're not available in any physical stores. You can get them from Cinetics for $200, and you can also get it as a bundle with the tripod and also with Joby's ball mount. This is Tony Wayne for Twit.tv, and this is CineSkates.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar with Twit.tv, and I'm here with the Huawei One Slim. This is a speaker. There's not a whole lot to show you. It's just a speaker. There's two ports on here, an aux and a USB in, and that's pretty much it. So what you do is pretty simple. You plug in an audio source. There's an iPod Touch. You put this on the Surface, and that turns the Surface into a speaker. And now some Ace of Spades. The Huawei One is pretty portable. You could just slip it into a pocket. But the thing is, again, it's got some limited functionality. If it fits you, it's really easy to carry. But at $80, it's a kind of a hard sell. I'm Ayaz Akhtar for Twit.tv, and this has been the Huawei One Slim.
Hey, thank you, guys. Those are our quick bites, but that's just a part of the full review. If any of those interested you, go to our website. Actually, go to YouTube, youtube.com/twit, and you'll not only find this show and all our future shows, but you'll find every single one of our product reviews in toto. That, again, is youtube.com/twit. Now it's my turn. Every once in a while, I'm going to get to review something. And today, I'm going to review what many have called the Jesus phone, the God phone. It's Google's response to the iPhone 4S and other phones. This is the Galaxy Nexus. Now, you see, I have a third phone here, and there's a really good reason for that. This Galaxy Nexus, in fact, if you look at the three phones together, these, by the way, are the this is the unlocked GSM version that I got from England a little while ago. And this, actually, it's vice versa. Let's flip them around. This is the GSM version, and this is the Verizon version. In fact, there's one pretty significant difference. The Verizon version, because it is 4G and working on the Verizon 4G network, is both thicker and heavier by a little bit. So they can incorporate more battery. The reason I've got this phone on here is because essentially there's a lot in common. This is the Samsung Galaxy S2, which was the previous Jesus phone. They change every few months. The Galaxy S2 is running, of course, Gingerbread, the older version of Android. And the thing that people are most excited about with this Nexus is it's running Ice Cream Sandwich, Android 4.0. And there's some things that I really like about this phone. But, you know, in the last analysis, I'm not sure if it's enough to make you want to go out and buy it. Let me talk about it. First of all, a very big screen, 4.65 inches, and more importantly, a very high screen resolution. This is the first 1280 by 720p phone. That means this phone can play back high definition 720p content in native resolution. That's pretty amazing. But they did make a sacrifice to get that high screen resolution in the more than 300 dots per inch. This is a Pentile display. Now, this is going to sound pretty techy, but it frankly makes a big difference. This Galaxy S2 has a Super AMOLED Galaxy display. Samsung's been very famous for these very high quality, very rich black, deep dark displays, and they just look fantastic. The blacks are very black. It's a lower resolution display, though. And in order to get the higher resolution, Samsung had to go to a technology called Pentile. It's a little different. Each pixel is actually split into three, red, green, and blue. And I hate to say it, but you can actually see it, especially on expanses of single color like white or black. The pixels become obvious, and I think it really hurts the overall display quality. It also, the super high resolution, can be a problem for applications that aren't resolution aware. This is the very nice Path app, which I love, but you can barely read the text on this because it's so fine. The good news is it's very crisp. It's anti-aliased. They've got a lot of dots to work with, but you're going to have to put your reading glasses on to see this. There are some nice features in the new ice cream sandwich operating system. But there's also features that I've really come to hate. For one thing, instead of having fixed buttons as they have on all previous Android phones, in some cases physical, in some cases like this, they're electronic, the buttons are on screen in ice cream sandwich. I guess the idea was that you could rotate the screen and reposition the buttons. They never do that. The worst case is in the camera application where the buttons turn into three dots, but they're in the same position. They take up screen real estate. They're not easy to find. And worse, they've moved the search button off. It's up here at the top with this widget, which is always on screen, the Google search widget. Google, at least on the Google Experience phones, which this is a phone unmodified by carrier or manufacturer, will always have this Google box at the top for Google branding, and that is now the search button. That's bad for application developers because it means they won't have a standard physical search button on the phone at all times. They'll have to figure out where to put the search button. It won't be visible. It'll go away. Notice I was using the voice commands. The voice commands on this are actually better, and I found the dictation extremely accurate. They've also changed how dictation works. It types as you go. So let me see if I can add a text message here and start dictating it. The dictation button, as usual, is on the keyboard. I'll press it. And as I talk to the phone, it immediately does need a connection for this, but it immediately starts typing out the dictation. That's great. It's better even than the iPhone Siri because not only is it just as accurate, but I can make corrections as soon as something goes wrong. And for me, that saves a lot of time. This is a huge improvement, one of several in ice cream sandwich that I really like. I don't like the repositioning of the buttons. I don't like the soft buttons, but they have done a nice job on the dictation. A couple of other things that are really great. The browser is much improved. On other Android phones, I've always used third-party browsers like Dolphin or Xscope. This new browser is fantastic. I pull it down to see the windowing. The windowing is right here. Instead of tabs, I have actual thumbnails of each page. I can add a new thumbnail by pressing the plus button. But there is something you'll notice that does bug me. The menu button is right up here. See those three dots? It's like a sideways ellipsis. That's the menu button. The menu button moves all over the place. Sometimes it's at the bottom. Sometimes it's at the top. It's very confusing. I think soft buttons are not a good idea, and I really regret Google's choice to go with them in ice cream sandwich. One other feature that I do like about ice cream sandwich is the settings are much better organized. You see now we have wireless and networks, we have device, we have personal, we have system. Much easier to find the setting you want. And I think this setting for data usage is fantastic. You can set a mobile data limit, let's say 5 gigabytes. It'll warn you when you get close. It'll turn off background data when you hit it. This is a great way to manage if you have a carrier, as most of us do, that limits the amount of data you can use per month. So there it is. That's the Galaxy Nexus phone. The pros are it's a Google Experience phone. There's no carrier adaptation. There are no additional apps on it. It's using the latest Google Android. In fact, it's the only phone so far to use 4.0. So if you're a developer, especially, you're going to want it. It also means Google will be faster to update these. You'll probably always be using the latest version of Android, at least for the next couple of years. The camera application is much improved. Very fast. Built-in panorama capability. Excellent quality. Oddly enough, the hardware is not as good as the Galaxy S2. It's only a 5-megapixel camera. The Galaxy S2 has an 8-megapixel camera. Better software, worst hardware. The phone battery life is pretty good. I have noticed a couple of things. One is it can get pretty hot. I didn't notice that on the Galaxy S2. And I have had, and this might just be this phone, not in general. I haven't heard enough people talking about it yet to know if this is for real. But I've had this freeze on me now twice in just 2 days, a hard crash that I actually had to pull the battery to get the phone going again. I've seen that kind of behavior on other Android phones. It's not unusual, I'm sad to say. I do hope the Galaxy Nexus isn't going to suffer from that. Try it. Buy it. Don't buy it. I hate to say it. This is the hottest phone on the market today. And for the price, $300, that's what Verizon's charging with a new 2-year contract, I just can't recommend it. If you want a good phone with Android on it, I'd say go with the Galaxy S2. To me, this is the best phone out there right now, especially the best Android phone. They've already promised all the carriers that they're going to update this to 4.0. You may not want to rush. I like having physical buttons. I like having a search button on the bottom. I just think it's easier to use. I don't think ice cream sandwich is such a big improvement. So if you're looking for the best Android phone, the Galaxy S2 gets my recommendation. Sad to say, don't buy it on the Galaxy Nexus. That's it for our edition of Before You Buy, our first show. I know there have been some rough edges. We're going to make some changes in the way we produce it. Of course, we like to think of it as a beta version of the show. But I do hope you enjoy it, and I hope you'll email us and let us know what you think about it. What should we use as an email address? Should we use byb@twit.tv? Let's do it. We'll set that up, and by this time tomorrow, we'll have it ready to go. byb@twit.tv. You will be able to subscribe to this show. We're setting up the podcast feeds now. It will be a podcast right out of the box with both audio and video versions, high and low quality. So stay tuned for information on that. You'll find it at twit.tv. And I think we plan to shoot this every Thursday at about 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time. I know that's a little late for our viewers around the world. If I do my math right, it is in the middle of some other time period in the rest of the world. Let's see. It's 8 plus 18. It's 2 in the morning UTC, 0200 UTC if you want to watch the show. Better you download it. twit.tv/BYB. Thanks to our reviewers. You're going to see many of the Twit staffers do reviews. Iaz Akhtar from Tech News Today. From All About Android, Eileen Rivera. Tony Wang, one of our esteemed editors and one of our longest employees. And who am I missing? Tom Merritt. He works here. He's the host of Tech News Today. Thank you for being here. And we'll see you next time on Before You Buy.